grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you all. Amen. Our text today is recorded in the book of Numbers in chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." So far the text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear Christian friends, the festival half of the church year has now drawn to a close. That's the part of the year when we remember particular events from the life of Jesus, like his birth at Christmas, his holy passion and death during Lent, his resurrection at Easter, his ascension, and sending of the Holy Spirit upon his disciples on Pentecost. This festival half of the year runs typically from December through early June, during which our attention is drawn to everything Christ did for us in love to make us his own for time and eternity. Next Sunday, we'll be entering the non-festival part of the year, when we think especially about Jesus' teachings and the meaning that they have for our daily lives, how we want to, as Christians, respond to all that the Lord has accomplished for us in the past, continues to do for us every day, and will do for us in the future. Now, the Sunday that falls between the two halves of the year, we, as mentioned, traditionally observe as Holy Trinity Sunday. And that's the day when we consider that very sublime teaching of Scripture, that the God who formulated his great salvation plan in Christ and who carried it through in time and space history, and who works the miracle of faith to believe this in hearts by the power of God's word, is the eternal, immortal, invisible, holy, triune God. This year on this Trinity Festival, we're going to consider the so-called Aaronitic benediction, which most of us have heard in Sunday services hundreds, probably even thousands of times, through which our triune God gives us something very precious to take home: the promise of his daily providential care, the joy of his amazing, superabounding grace, and the comfort of his eternal heavenly peace. So, what was going on in the lives of God's people when the Lord originally bestowed on them the Aaronitic benediction? Well, they were encamped at Sinai, been there about a year after their exodus from Egypt and their crossing through the Red Sea. And they were now preparing, after a year, to break camp and continue their journey to the land flowing with milk and honey, which God had promised to them, Canaan. And it was at this time that God instructed Moses to speak in the Lord's name to his brother Aaron, that's why it's called Aaronitic benediction, who was serving as high priest, and tell Aaron to speak a blessing upon the Israelites. The Lord wanted his people to know, as they readied themselves to head off into the barren wilderness of Sinai, where they'd be exposed to many dangers and they would need basics of life like food and water and shelter and protection from bad weather, other challenges, he was going to take good care of them. Their faithful Lord, who had set his love on them and chosen them to to be his holy people, a special treasure above all the peoples of the earth, from whom the promised Savior would eventually arise, not because of their righteousness and because they were morally superior and more numerous than other nations of the earth. They were not, but purely out of his fatherly divine goodness, because in his faithfulness he wanted to keep the oath that he had sworn to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We want to notice how the Lord told Aaron, the priest, to speak a blessing upon his people that had three parts, in which he repeated three times his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. He was alluding to the fact that he is the three in one, one in three, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we read later on in the book of Deuteronomy, when the Israelites 40 years later were getting ready to enter the promised land, God said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And later on through the prophet Isaiah, some years later, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, the Redeemer of Israel, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no other God, just one. But this one God exists in three separate persons." As we reminded in this sermon last Sunday, in the creation account in Genesis 1, where the Lord said on day 6, "Let us make man in our image," referring to the three persons of the Trinity, three persons of the God who are present and active in the world's creation. In addition to the Father being there and working to create the world, we're told in Genesis 2, verse 1, the Spirit of God, remember that verse? The Spirit of God was hovering on the face of the waters. And in John's Gospel in the New Testament, we read these words from chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word," referring to Christ, God the Son, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him." That's just one example. There are many others in the Bible that reveal that our God is triune. And he is the God now who was leading the Israelites out of the promised land, or out of Egypt to the promised land, and he promised that he was going to take care of them all along the way. And the Lord had this Aaronitic benediction preserved in the Bible for our benefit as well. He wants you to know, as you wend your way through the desert of a world that is quite desolate spiritually, to your own promised land, heaven, that he is going to accompany you with his daily providential care, going before you to guide you through each leg of your journey, whether you're a young child or a high school student, college grad, 30-something, middle-ager, gray-haired, nonagenarian, and anywhere in between, you can count on the Lord to supply you with all the gifts that Luther enumerates so beautifully in the first article of the Apostles' Creed explanation: clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, property, everything you need to support your body and life. Now, in the case of the Israelites back in the day, the Lord frequently used supernatural means to provide for them and care for them, like when he opened the waters of the Red Sea and made that safe highway for them to traverse on, when he gave them manna and quail, water that flowed from a rock. Today, the Lord generally uses natural means to care for his children, giving us physical strength and stamina we need to work for a living, receive a paycheck so we go to the store and buy things, pay the rent, purchase a home. Though there may indeed be instances, and perhaps you can think of some in your life, when you perceived some miraculous things happening in your life by the Lord's direction that did not take place by accident. You landed a nice paying job, totally unexpected, or you got an unexpected work bonus from your boss, or you were very sick and ill and you recovered from a serious illness, or you were blessed, and this is also a wonder of God's grace, with strength and patience to bear up under physical trials. Modern day, we might say, miracles of the Lord's amazing grace. So what a blessing, friends, to be able to take home from the worship service every Sunday this promise of our holy triune God. I will bless you and keep you. Now, on account of our natural sinful condition, we don't deserve the least of the Lord's generosities. If he'd keep tally of our iniquities, all our sins of thought, word, and deed, we could not hope to stand before him, much less receive anything good from him. All we really could expect is that his face would be turned away from us in anger, and that he would punish us for our sins temporally and eternally. But our triune God, he's aware of our human frailties. The psalmist David wrote, "He, the Lord, knows our frame, that we're made of dust." And so to assure us that he is kindly disposed towards us, his children, despite our sinful weaknesses, he speaks this blessing in his benediction, "I will make my face shine upon you and be gracious to you." How could it be that God would be so gracious and generous and kind-hearted towards unworthy sinners like us? Well, most of you are acquainted with another story farther on in the wilderness wanderings story of the Israelites. Later on in the book of Numbers, we're told how the Israelites, as they trekked farther into the desert, they grew very impatient, started to question the Lord's leading them and grumbled about his providential care. All this after he'd been so kind, supplied them, as mentioned, manna, quail, morning and evening, water, so they could keep hydrated, protection from enemies like the Amalekites, so that they lacked nothing. Interestingly, later on in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, "Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell." All through the 40 years, new clothes didn't wear out, and their feet never got tired and never swelled. Imagine going a hike in the mountains for many miles and how your feet feel when you get back home. They never felt that way. That was another of the blessings of the Lord all through their desert trek. And so as a chastisement for their sinful complaining, ignoring all these wonderful goodnesses of the Lord, he sent those poisonous snakes into their camp, which bit many, and many died. And when the Lord saw how they called out to him for help, he told Moses to, you know the story, right? Fashion a metal snake from bronze, put it on a pole, and tell the people that whoever looks at it will suffer no harmful effects from their snake bite. And when anyone got bit, they fixed their gaze upon that snake on the pole. They were rendered immune from the viper's poison. And that, of course, was a picture and a foreshadowing of how God would have his own son later on lifted up on the cross to make all of us immune from the lethal toxin of sin so that we will not die. Jesus told Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And it's because of this, the God of holiness and perfect justice turned his face away from Christ in anger and disgust, for our sins, had him suffer for them, that the Lord's face will always be turned towards us with favor. That's what the triune God is assuring of us in the second part of the benediction. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. What a blessing to be able to take home from the service every week. Finally, he speaks this word of compassion to us. He says, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Here we can be reminded of the work of the Holy Spirit that we focused our thoughts on last week on Pentecost, the third person of the Holy Trinity, who's worked powerfully and graciously in our hearts to bless us with childlike faith in the Lord. And we have this gift of the Spirit, faith, that through Christ, God's Son, we have a gracious Father who's forgiven our sins. He's looking down upon us always with a face that radiates kindness. That what David wrote in a psalm is true. The Lord is merciful. He won't strive with us, will not keep his anger forever. He's not dealt with us according to our sins or punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. And then comes the passage I quoted before. He knows our frame, that we are dust. When we know this, when we, by the Spirit's power, have this faith in the gospel message, then we have that gift, which is the crown jewel of all the gifts that God gives his people. The blessing Jesus bestowed on his disciples the night before he died, when he said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Truly, what a blessed thing to hear these words spoken every Sunday at the close of the service. Blessings to take home with us in the Lord's name and treasure up in our hearts all through the week. That's why it's been said, and I'll close with this morning, if you ever oversleep on a Sunday morning, or run into traffic on the way so you get here late, or maybe you miss the spring time change, you forgot to spring ahead an hour for daylight savings time, and you got here just in time for the benediction. I heard stories of that happening on occasion. The effort you expended to get here is worth it. You heard the benediction of your triune God through which he blessed you with something special to take home. The promise of his daily care, the joy of his grace, and the comfort of his peace that he will continue to bestow on you all through your life's journey till finally you arrive at your promised land. So we close then with a doxology to the Trinity. All blessing, honor, thanks, and praise to Father, Son, and Spirit, the God who saved us by his grace, all glory to his merit. O triune God in heaven above, you have revealed your saving love. Your blessed name we hallow. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Salvation, uphold with your spirit.